This meeting is now being recorded.
Great. Thank you, and welcome to the meeting of the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup, meeting number 5. First, I will ask if anybody who is audio only can identify themselves so that we have a roll call. Anybody audio only? So everyone is in the chat. There are two phone numbers that are not names. If you are 5189 or 5316, please identify yourselves. Also, 2932 joined as well. So if you could identify yourselves, that would be helpful. Thank you. Last, in terms of formalities, does anybody have any changes to statements of interest? I hear no statements of interest, and nobody's doing anything new and exciting and different in their lives since our last meeting. Sorry to hear that. In any case, let's move on to the substance of the call. Given the recent discussion on the list, and which was inspired by our last call on gap analysis, I thought it would be best if we started our discussion with gap analysis. And as we know, Annex 12 asks us to confirm and assess the gap analysis. So we need to confirm what that gap analysis was, implicit or informal, though it may have been. And secondly, to discuss how we are going to assess it and the extent to which we are going to perform a gap analysis in order to assess the initial gap analysis. So I think that there were some good starting points raised in the email by David McCauley. I thank him for a very good starting point for that email thread, and I'm hoping that I can pick on David, perhaps, no need to read the email out loud and all that, but if you could hit on some of the high points, I think that will get us started here.
Greg, hi. I just had to get off mute. This is David McCauley for the transcript. Yes, just to set the table, about, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago or 2 meetings ago, you had posted some questions on the list, and in the last phone call, I believe that myself and Pedro spoke about the gap analysis, and if I'm not mistaken, at the end of the call, you invited us each to further explicate what we were talking about or the points we were making on the list, and that's why I did what I did. Without repeating it, by the way, I'll back up for a second. I'll say I did have been quite busy today. I saw that Pedro has sent 2 mails and Milton has sent another, and I haven't had a chance to look at them yet. I've been in meetings, but I certainly will, obviously, and comment later if I think that's appropriate. But so I'll thank them both for that. Anyway, the high point of what I was saying is it was my estimation based on my recollection of Workstream 1, which I was involved in from early on point, and in light of the language in the Annex 12 that dealt with jurisdiction, it was my impression that what Annex 12 was asking us to do was confirm a gap analysis. I took that to mean, you know, was there one taking place? I felt that, in effect, one took place in Workstream 1, and that's where I was coming from, and it was my belief that the accountability measures that we created in Workstream 1, you know, and I ticked them off in the mail, in the list, you know, those were brought up and they were addressed and made to work, or, you know, they were shaped once we decided that we were following a designator model. So it was my belief that a gap analysis was not necessary. I know there's not uniform agreement in this group on that, but that was my position, and that's why I stated what I stated online. The second thing I'll say about it is I think my phone battery's dying, so if I further comment, it may have to be in the chat if my phone leaves. So thank you. That's my comment.
Thank you, David, and thank you for sacrificing the last bit of your phone battery to this call. Pedro, do you think you would like to be able to speak to your email as well? Just so we have, I think, kind of the two bigger emails on that thread brought into this call.
Yes, sure, Greg. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yes, like you, I'd like also to thank David for starting this email thread and somehow also starting this discussion. Well, my conclusion is actually the opposite of David's, of course, with all respect. I believe there was an intense discussion about gap analysis within WorkStream 1, and especially prior to the Istanbul meeting and also a little bit during the meeting. And then as I indicated in an email, there was a dedicated effort that was led by Mathieu to start this kind of exercise. But by that time, our requirements for the accountability mechanisms weren't, let's say, all settled. And that's why I think a preliminary result of this exercise that I wouldn't call a full gap analysis, but an initial intent to discuss this bit was the result of this was also like preliminary, and I highlighted this in the email. I think there were like if you look at the documents, the documents that was a result of this discussion, one of the statements that there was when I read it, the CCWG accountability found the association of all its requirements under California law possible but challenging and requiring some forms of trade-offs, especially with regards to the community empowerment model. So it's an indication that there was, let's say, initial considerations about comparing requirements to possible implementations, but there was no conclusion. And by that time, we couldn't anyway conclude anything because our requirements weren't, let's say, finalized. And based on that, I really think this exercise that we held during July 2015, we never resumed it, and especially after we, let's say, concluded our report, we never conducted again this kind of a comparison between requirement and implementation. That's why my conclusion is that we haven't actually made any gap analysis. There was obviously many participant members of the group that have been expressing that there are no gaps between our requirements and California law. Of course, it's important inputs, but the team, the working group as a whole, hasn't conducted a formal, analysis, a formal assessment of those gaps, and that's why I said this is a task of WorkStream 2, and this still has to be done. That's in summary, more or less, what I wanted to express in my email. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. Not seeing any hands at the moment, probably be an appropriate time since to bring Milton's email into the conversation here, since he's not here, to state it. Milton responded to Pedro's email. I think Pedro makes important points. In particular, I see a compatibility between his conclusion that was as follows. I understand that with the variety of information we have at our disposal, some colleagues are tempted to jump into conclusions about the ability of California nonprofit law to conform to the CCWG requirements. However, given this is not a straightforward exercise and stakeholders have diverse viewpoints about it, it is important that a formal and partial effort be made so it can be considered a legitimate informal gap analysis based on individual assessments is not likely to be recognized as a relevant input to the community. I shortened that up a little bit. Apologies to Pedro. And the conclusion of Steve Del Bianco that, quote unquote, this work stream two team should look at the gap analysis and confirm the conclusion. If there are enforceability gaps noted by our lawyers, we should analyze whether those gaps could be closed using any form of incorporation in any jurisdiction. In other words, even though Workstream 1 suggests there are no major or glaring gaps, this Workstream 2 needs to review and confirm or find holes in that initial hasty gap analysis. I think that is a procedure we can all agree on. Although for efficiency's sake, I would not want to evaluate any or every jurisdiction, but only those put forward by informed people as possible alternatives. Phil Corwin has had some comments on that as well, and we do have Phil with us. If I could ask Phil perhaps to state his thoughts on that for this call, that would be great.
I'd be happy to, Greg. Let me try to find them. I'm right at my computer. Of course, I've gotten about a dozen emails since I sent that out an hour ago. But that's par for the course. Can you hear me?
Only a dozen. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, here we go. By the way, I have to say, personally, it's a bit disturbing to hear people saying now, with the transition likely 5 days away, that we're not sure that the accountability system we've set up will work within the context of California law. It's a little late for that kind of buyer's remorse because we're at the brink here. But and I noted that we wouldn't be talking about a gap analysis if we had collectively stood up for the member model in October 2015, but that didn't happen, and we are where we are. What I did say is that if you're going to do gap analysis, and you're going to say this some particular requirement in the accountability arrangement that there's some question about whether it can be effectively undertaken with California law, if you're going to then look at other jurisdictions, you can't just look for the jurisdiction whose own statutory framework would work best with that particular aspect of the accountability framework, because ICANN can only be incorporated in one place. You can't take our Chinese menu approach and say we're going to use country A for this function and country B for that function. It's got to be one or another. So you have to look at the entirety of the other country's law and then determine whether, as a totality, it fits better with the accountability framework we've set up or the California one. As I would expect, in most, if not all cases, California law in totality would be better, because we did design the designator model to work within the context of California statutory law, and we got some opinion from outside counsel, although perhaps not the ultimate gap analysis, that it would reasonably do so, and we're about to step off the precipice with that assumption. And besides looking at the totality of a country's statutory framework, if it's being considered as an alternative to the U.S. and California, you also have to look at its judicial system. Does it have a reputation for efficient judgment and for fair judgment based on law and not other considerations? And you have to look at its political considerations. Would its if I can relocate it there, what are the prospects for its legislature perhaps changing some important point of law, now knowing that I can be affected by that change? So it's you really need a very – I think the point is you can't just disaggregate one accountability function and look at one other country being better on that function. You have to have a much more comprehensive analysis if you're going to go down that path. And then finally, if one concludes that country X is better overall than California, which again would surprise me, but I wouldn't say it's impossible, you also have to look at how would an ICANN incorporated outside the U.S. interact with the two new parts of the process that are required by fundamental bylaws to be incorporated within California. One, of course, is the Empowered Community, and the other is the PTI, which is going to administer the ANOS function. So even if some other country was better for ICANN as an organization, would ICANN as an organization be able to constructively and effectively interact with these two other entities, which at least under current bylaws are required to be located in California and be under California law. So that was the point of my comment, and I've now repeated what I wrote. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. Just one quick comment before I go to Paul McGrady, who's next, that in addition to the fundamental bylaws you mentioned regarding PTI and I can't, all of a sudden I'm blanking on the second point.
Empowered community.
Empowered community being placed in California per fundamental bylaw. ICANN is placed in California per the Articles of Incorporation, which are treated the same as, if not more than, a fundamental bylaw, certainly the same as a fundamental bylaw in terms of the ability to change them. So that's also wrapped up in the kind of the fundamental bylaw concept, if you will. Now I'll turn to Paul. Paul, we're not hearing you yet.
Sorry about that. I had to unlock my phone to unmute it.
you are unlocked.
All right. Paul McGrady for the record, and I'm really disappointed because I was actually going to try not to say anything on this call just to prove to myself that I could do it. but I guess I wanted to ask two questions rather than make any comments. I think the first question is, and I think it was Steve Del Bianco's email that did this, but why would we automatically jump to finding a new home outside of California in order to fill a gap? So, for example, the UDRP exists primarily because the ACPA is too expensive and too local to use everywhere, and so there is a mechanism that the ICANN community designed to fill a gap, and that gap is filled contractually. And so if we find a gap in accountability under the normal operation of California law, why wouldn't our reaction be first to see if we could fill that gap by developing some new mechanism rather than automatically trying to flee California as a result of that? So I'll just throw that out there as a question. And then secondly, and again, I hope we don't do that, but secondly, in the event that we do decide that California is no longer the place for us, how would we even go about picking which countries to look at? ICANN is now in California primarily due to historic accident of where the internet was developed and which, you know, president of which country, you know, took the initiative to, you know, form ICANN and put it where it is. How do we have to look at all 200 plus countries to make sure everybody gets a fair shake? Is it just the countries we like best that are part of the club? How do we even go down that path without looking at everybody? And how long will that take? And how much will that cost? Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. I put my hand up to join the conversation actually provides a good segue to what I was going to say. Listening to this conversation and looking at the emails, it seems to me that the gap analysis is at least in two parts. One, the basic part is to assess whether there are any gaps under California law, under the current jurisdictions or jurisdiction that we are dealing with, whether there are any gaps between the CCWG recommendations and the implementation. In other words, are there gaps? Are there shortfalls and shortcomings? If the answer to that question is no, and we were able to satisfy all of the recommendations fully with the current jurisdictional framework that's in place, there doesn't seem to me to be any reason to start looking at alternate jurisdictions for any purpose, in particular for a purpose of place of incorporation and headquarters. If we do find a gap, then it also seems to me that under Occam's razor and other such rules of thought, that looking for the simplest solution would be first, and the one that's most contained, and finding a solution that could be resolved without causing secondary effects. It would seem to me that we would have to find some issue that was so fundamental, not in the sense of a fundamental bylaw, but so critical, and yet somehow so unable to resolve while ICANN sits in California with regard to our accountability. And as we know, we're particularly directed to look at the settlement of dispute, the jurisdictions in which ICANN and those who would like to engage in disputes with ICANN can bring up and settle those disputes. So to kind of bring it back in a nutshell, it seems to me that if we do conduct a gap analysis, and I do think that we should do more than just conclude that a gap analysis was done and no gaps were found, but that if we do a gap analysis, and it should not be a labor for the ages, or else it will be the only thing that this group does because of our time frame. If we go through that gap analysis and determine that there are no gaps, then we have confirmed and assessed the gap analysis. If we poke holes in it, as Milton put it, and find some gaps, then we have to look at ways to solve those. But it seems to me that the simplest and narrowest ways to solve those would be those that would be most favorable. Thanks. Now I see Pedro has his hand up.
Yes, hello, thanks, Rick. Yes, actually, I need to say that I tend to agree, actually, with Paul and with you as well with regards to the purpose of this. I mean, I came to this, I started to participate in this subgroup, actually hoping that we wouldn't fall into a competition between those who support California law and those who do not support. Actually, we should be doing more than that. Actually, we should actually, before coming to this point, I think of considering that we should really assess the issue of jurisdiction with one of the items would be precisely the gap analysis, basically identifying, where requirements, are not met, and what possible solutions can be found. Maybe the solution lies already in under California law, and we may not even discuss a possible another place of incorporation, or maybe it lies elsewhere. But I think prior to coming to this discussion, whether moving out or staying, I think we should conduct this assessment as open as possible. And also, this is, I think, in line with what I proposed as an overall approach to that group, that when considering the, let's say, jurisdiction multi-layer issue, is to basically identify all, let's say, jurisdictional aspects of ICANN, let's say all those areas where jurisdiction actually have an influence on ICANN, and then identify to what extent this may represent an issue or not. So it's like really starting from a very open assessment of trying to identify issues, gaps, problems, and then probably assessing any alternatives that may eventually lie in California itself or elsewhere. So I really wanted to avoid, and I would like you to also believe me, that it's like I wanted to be in this discussion here with an open approach, not, let's say, presuming or with a hidden, let's say, objective. So, I mean, in that sense, I think that if we conduct this gap analysis as open as possible and not jumping into conclusions, I think that's the correct way to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. David.
Thanks, Greg. This is David McCauley again. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so things are okay with the phone then. I can understand what Pedro said, and I guess where I'm coming from is that I think it would behoove us to decide what things we need to check. For instance, when it comes to jurisdiction, I believe I'm of the view that jurisdiction is consequential when it comes to holding ICANN accountable. And so we've chosen the vehicles that we want. You know, we want to be able to spill board members. We want to be able to review budget, whatever it might be. And so if there is more to it, I mean, over the last 18 years, it's been shown that ICANN can honor the PDB process and can enter into contracts and things of that nature. If there's more to it, then I think it would behoove our group to sort of write those things down and see if we agree on what they are. In order to do an open analysis. I guess what I'm saying is I just don't understand what an open analysis would be beyond the jurisdictional requirements that we've identified in Workstream 1. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, David. I'm kind of trying to get my head around that particular point as well. I think part of this goes to the question of what our overall scope is in terms of what we should be looking at. I think that as I understood the gap analysis, to the extent that, you know, there is a gap analysis to understand, is that it was looking at solely, not that it's a small task, but solely whether the accountability objectives set forth in the recommendations of the CCWG Workstream 1 can be carried out completely under the current jurisdictional framework without any gaps, and that if we answer that question yes, there are no gaps, then that's the end of the gap analysis. So I guess the question that I'm still grappling with is when or why do we introduce the issues of alternative jurisdictions? And in particular, the idea of alternative jurisdictions for ICANN to actually move to and abandon California as the place of incorporation. So I'm not quite seeing where under the gap analysis, unless we find, as I said, kind of a critical gap, an insoluble gap, why we're not just done if we say that there are no gaps, or if we say that there are gaps but they can be solved in ways that have, you know, no, you know, significant jurisdictional effect. Aubrey?
Yeah, this is Aubrey speaking. And at the risk of inflicting my confusion on you all. I guess I have been hearing two things. One is that to some, the gap analysis may not have been as complete as it could be, and there may be some more need for analyzing the requirements and seeing whether there are any other gaps, even if they hadn't been seen already in previous analysis. And that's a definition of gaps, and there may or may not be any in that respect. I also understand that after that, there would be a discussion of, as you said, all gaps, and seeing whether those gaps needed any solution beyond what we could achieve at the moment. And I think if we look at the questions that way, I'm not terribly confused. But we seem to always make the jump in the conversation that, oh my word, if there's a gap that we haven't discussed, then it means we have to move. Now, I see moving as Herculean, and I don't see any of us as Hercules. But I do see a theoretical possibility that we may discover gaps that we do not know already, and that we may need to find mechanisms. Those mechanisms may be achievable in California, or they may need an assist from, I have no idea what. But by and large, the assumption would be that we did a good enough job in picking California that any gap that comes up should be able to find a solution in that space. But I really get confused every time we say, well, gee, if there's another gap, then it means we have to move, or it means somebody's talking about move. And that's the piece I don't understand. Thanks.
Thank you, Arkley. I think we share the same confusion may not be quite the right word for it, but understanding of kind of a natural boundary for a gap analysis, and that, you know, even if there is a gap that is found, that, you know, solutions, you know, start with the most modest ones, and that the likelihood that, you know, solution that we're going to find a gap that is so big and so insoluble that we can't deal with it unless ICANN is put on the space station or something. It seems unlikely. But I think unless there's any other further comments on this point, and in particular on the point of when and whether we might get to any discussions that involve alternate jurisdiction. It seems to me that maybe we'll change to the go on to the concept of assess how we would assess and perform the gap analysis. So this would be 2B. So unless there's any other comments on this, we can move on. So as discussed, it seems to me at least that at least some form of an analysis without potentially reinventing the wheel or incurring huge legal expenses could be done, should be done. I asked that question in order to look back at Workstream 1 and see if there are any recommendations that as we are implementing them, and in many cases the implementation is kind of built into the recommendations, but as they're being implemented or as we see them being implemented, are going to reveal gaps. So it seems to me that we would need to kind of come up with a methodology for doing that, and hopefully that methodology is not just assigning Sidley or Adler or both to do that work. So I think we need to do more of a crowdsourced version of this. maybe what we can do is find the shortest reasonable summary of the recommendations, and maybe that is, unfortunately, the entire report, and kind of have people look for gaps, see if they can identify things that don't appear that may be problematic under California jurisdiction, or at least where a question could be raised that could be worth looking at, and initially within this group, and if it doesn't seem like we can answer it in this group, those particular potential gaps could be brought to our lawyers or perhaps to other lawyers if they believe that the lawyers that we've been working with don't have the right tools to look at a particular question, then we can bring it to our lawyers and have in a relatively restrained fashion, cost-effective fashion. I think that it is what we need to do, and we need to approach this as a proposal and implementation type of question. And that's certainly something that those of us who are in and around ICANN or just dealing with life are familiar with and doesn't require any special legal training. So I will look at, and if anybody has any suggestions of kind of a base document that we can use, put up in Google Docs, with apologies to those who have trouble with Google Docs, but we'll put up in Google Docs and basically have at it. One methodological question is whether we just use the free-for-all sort of approach and let everyone just kind of go where they will, or whether we do assignments to particular sections. So I think I have a tendency to want to do the assignment method because if people are going to go where they will, they may as well just go, announce that as an assignment rather than just kind of, running up to the document and starting to touch it. So we can put together kind of an assignment list, so at least we know who is looking at which sections to identify potential gaps. And then if we have any gaps, so to speak, in that list, any sections that aren't assigned, jump into those points and fill them so that we have kind of complete coverage. I see a very good suggestion by David McCauley in the list that we should formulate an agreed base question as well that we will be uniformly following as we review the report. So I think we have to decide what it is, what the gap analysis question is. I will entertain formulations of that. I think there were a couple of formulations in the email thread that we had going, and we can pull one of those out in relatively short order. I think, given our time frames, I think we should have a limited time for this project. Perhaps we can try to get it done in 2 weeks. Since this is a Monday call, we have all of this week and next week to do it, although some of us will be out of commission professionally for a day or two next week due to the Jewish holidays. But nonetheless, there'll be more than enough time and people to so that everyone can take a few hours and do this work. So I think if we could aim to have this done for the call a week after next, that would be good. At that point, we can at least evaluate where we stand. We should evaluate that next week as well. But if we aim for 2 weeks, then we'll have you know, kind of a defined project, because this is the kind of thing that could take 6 months if you let it. And if we do that, then we have no, it'll be, again, the only thing we do. Any thoughts, any reflections, any disagreements, any agreements? I will take this as one of those points where silence equals assent. I think that both that approach to this gap analysis and that time frame, at least for us to have reviewed the entire document and, you know, through the use of Teams, will take us, as Bernie said, notes, up to the October 10th meeting, and we can review where we are there and at least, you know, at that point, see if we have so far identified any potential gaps that need to be discussed and perhaps questioned out to council. Any further comments? Hearing none, I think we have disposed of that question for the moment, and we'll turn to making that a reality. I see a hand from Pedro. Pedro, go ahead, please.
Yes, Greg, can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
I hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Hello, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can still hear you. Don't know why that announcement was made.
Okay, good. I'm not sure I quite understood your proposal, and apologies for that. What you're saying, so, is basically that your proposal is that we divide among yourselves, perhaps according to different chapters of the Workstream 1 report, so that each one could take on, let's say, one chapter or one specific accountability function, and within that try to identify the gaps that we have been, let's say, like only abstractedly been discussing. If that's the case, I mean, maybe we should first make a clear separation while analyzing all those different sections of our report. Try to make a separation between requirements and implementation, because I think in not all the cases these are, let's say, very well separated from each other. I think, one case where there is an actual, let's say, clear separation is in the enhanced community, or let's say empowered community mechanism, where we have, let's say, laid out all the 7-8 functions that this empowered community has, let's say, all those 8 powers that it has, so 7 and 8, I can't recall now the exact number, but, and the implementation, let's say, mechanism, which is the designator model. So there we can make a very clear, let's say, separation between requirements and implementation. Not so sure whether in other, let's say, in other powers that's the case. So I think maybe we should initially start to make this exercise where there we list all those powers and maybe a table where we have all those powers listed, and in one column, in another column, we kind of list all those, let's say, legal vehicles that allow those powers to be actually implemented or operationalized. So maybe we should start from that, and then based on that, starting actually to identify gaps. So maybe, I mean, that's my understanding of maybe how we should proceed.
Cedric, could you explain a little bit more what you mean by legal vehicles?
I mean, the legal, maybe, I'm not a lawyer, sorry, so maybe I'm not using the correct words, but I mean, the legal mechanisms that California law has that allows the ICANN community to, let's say, or allows a specific accountability requirement to be actually implemented. So, and I give the example of the designator model, which is, let's say, a legal, let's say, instrument that is within California nonprofit law that allows, to some extent, and that maybe the evaluation of this extent is, let's say, maybe where the gap is, the exercise of those 7-8 powers. So, in that case, the designated model, which is foreseen by California law, would be, let's say, the legal vehicle that I'm referring to. Just as an example.
Thanks, Pedro. It occurs to me, though, if the legal vehicle that we actually have, which is the designator model, does allow us to implement the requirements without any gaps, that there's no need to go and look at whether others would have been better or worse or the same level but somehow different. I'm just kind of wondering why we would getting to looking into alternatives before we identify gaps.
Well, if you allow me to respond to that, maybe there will be different viewpoints of whether the designator model allow us actually to exercise those powers or not. Remember that and actually Phil hinted to that the membership model actually allowed us to those powers to be exercised directly. And the designator model actually not so indirectly, so through maybe the possibility of removing directors, ICANN directors. So maybe there will be a different evaluation whether, let's say, all those powers can actually really be exercised or not. So I think there will be probably different viewpoints of that analysis, of that evaluation.
Thanks, Pedro. That clarifies things, at least for me, as what you were the point you were making. David McCauley.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley again. I think I share with Pedro. I'm not quite sure exactly what we're doing, and so I'll make a suggestion, just as Pedro was doing. And I would agree with your point, Greg. I don't think we should go search for alternatives until we assess that a gap exists. Having said that, the gap analysis or confirming the gap analysis or whatever we call it seems so important that we ought to have a crisp question that we'll all be following, as I put in chat, and a crisp object of review. In other words, what it is we're reviewing. And my suggestion would be that this is important enough that you and Vinay may want to touch base with the chairs of the CCWG to make sure that these two statements, the question and the object of the review, are what they understand. I don't think. And then we in this group could then take a look at that and say what we think. I mean, the chairs don't have any more authority on it than we do, but I just think we're sort of grasping a little bit, and I share Pedro's concern that it may not be that clear. That's not, by the way, a knock on your suggestion. It's just saying this is inherently difficult, and we ought to take the time to make sure that we get this crisp and clear and understandable. Anyway, that's a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I think that's a very good suggestion. You know, we are putting this together as we speak. So I think something we need to clarify. And I'm happy to work, you know, initially with Vinay and then, you know, bring back to this group before or after bringing it to the chairs, you know, what our question is as we do this, and as well what the objective is. And I think that it makes sense as we do this to set, you know, not only to set a goal, I said for October 10th to at least have confirmed and reassessed this gap analysis, but also to set a goal of being able to make a presentation of some sort. I'm not saying this will be a high interest topic or anything like that, but to at least be able to bring this forward in Hyderabad, at least to the face-to-face meeting of the accountability group, where each of the subgroups is going to be asked to show the rest of the class whether they have anything to show for their project or not. And it would be really good for us to be able to say that we do have something to show for our project, which is, you know, at least a first stage, a completed gap analysis. Ideally, either we find no gaps or we find gaps and then are able to resolve them all by Hyderabad, but even if we don't, even if we have some gaps, it's at least better to sit, to have that than to say we're still doing a gap analysis and, you know, it's going to be great when you see it. I think we should be able to do that. I see Phil Corwin notes in the chat. Didn't our expert and not inexpensive outside legal experts provide us with reasonable assurance that all the accountability powers of the designator model could be reasonably and effectively exercised under California law? I think the answer to that is yes, but I think that nonetheless we've been asked in Workstream 2 to confirm and assess that analysis, and I think it's reasonably appropriate that we kind of put this to rest not just as a legal opinion, but as a stakeholder opinion, as a community opinion. You know, part of me would love nothing better than to say, okay, gap analysis done, no gaps, off we go. But I have a feeling that would not be universally satisfactory. And therefore think that we at least kind of owe it to ourselves as stakeholders, as really the judgment made at the stakeholder level, that indeed there are no gaps, or if there are, we have identified them and ideally identified ways to fix them. So I think if that is done and done, then there can be really no further discussion until we see how things work out over the next several years of whether somehow we have a gap.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not connected to the internet. It seems to me that you are looking to find out that there is no gap analysis, there is nothing to be done, so the show is over and the stage is empty. I don't think so. There is
a gap. No.
Because I mean, you are turning the system around to make it the people that say, oh, there is no gap. But there is gap, but what are the gaps? This is the question. We have to raise it like this. I'm sorry, I don't agree with some of these distinguished colleagues that this is that if you don't find anything, there is no gap. There is gap, but we have to say, what are these gaps? Thank you.
Thank you, Kubus. I was not saying that there are no gaps or that we could just move on and say the gap analysis has been done. I've said the opposite, and we're actually going to be spending most of the next month in many ways performing this gap analysis. We can't say that there are gaps. We can't say that there aren't. We can say that our legal counsel has advised us that they know of no gaps and that this should all work, and that the acceptance by the community seems to be a reasonable indication that no major gaps were found that way, but we are going to do this gap analysis, and we'll see if we come up with them. And at the end of that, we'll be able to say, to the best of our ability as stakeholders, what the answer is to the question of whether there are gaps. So I think that that is what is in front of us for the next month, or at least, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, because we want to be able to have enough time before Hyderabad to kind of pull this all together and have something to show for it.
I'm sorry, I'm not connected. I cannot ask for the floor in the turn. But I think instead of this saying that wait until whether we identify, the question should be raised, what are the gap analysis? And then asking the people to comment and to provide information. And if the result of these comments that there is no gap analysis, there is no gap at all, then there won't be any analysis. So the question should be raised, what are the gap analysis that has been referred to in Work Stream 1? This is the question to be raised to the public. And by 13 or 14 people on your call, I don't think that you can conclude that one. This should be formally raised, that what are the gaps that we have to analyze? Thank you.
Thank you, Pitt. The gap we're analyzing is whether there is any gap between the accountability recommendations that we had and the ability to carry them out under California law. Pedro has been waiting very patiently with his hand up, so I'll turn to him as the final speaker.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. Very quickly, I wanted to kind of support David's suggestion here to perhaps we should start by preparing a set of questions that somehow will represent our methodology, how to go on with this gap analysis. So maybe prior to actually doing the gap analysis, let's agree on a basic set of questions that will guide each one of us in doing that. I think let's say deadline for 10th of October to have that let's say gap analysis ready is really as we have seen, it won't be a very easy let's say exercise, and at least we should go step by step, and perhaps starting with this kind of methodology for the gap analysis as a first thing to agree on, and then actually moving on to the actual gap analysis. So that's actually my comment. Thank you.
Pedro, if I could ask, is there anything beyond this question of really, are there any gaps between this recommendation, whichever one you're looking at, between this recommendation and the way it can be implemented under California law?
I think first, I think we need to make this distinction between requirement and implementation, which, as I said, I think it's not always very clear. And the way that some of our, let's say, recommendations are formulated, maybe they are intertwined, let's say, our requirements together with how they are implemented. I think we need to have a clear view first, as a methodology, how to distinguish one from the other, and then actually being, the evaluation of the gap. And as I said, I mean, it's not a binary answer whether there is a gap or not. Maybe the implementation of a requirement may be done at 80%, 90%. It's implemented and. Or not, or maybe someone views that it is implemented, and some others view that it's not implemented. So it's not like a very easy to conclude that there is a gap or not. So that's why I think we need to first have a clear picture of what is requirement and what is implementation.
I think that in each case, the requirement is sort of the policy side of this, and the implementation is how it actually will be carried out. So I'm not sure that there's anything particularly complex about that. And, you know, again, the gap analysis, to my mind, is pretty basic, which is can the requirements, can the recommendation actually be carried out under California law without any, you know, gaps or shortcomings? We are over time, and if there are people who think that is not the question that we're asking, maybe it'd be good quickly to hear that now, and then we can put something out on the list as the essential question and ask to add to that. Seeing no further hands, and being 4:04, we've now done an hour, having started for minutes late. I think it's time that state the assignment is first that we'll come up with a question, and then we'll get started implementation of the gap analysis as quickly as possible. And I think it is still highly feasible to get this done by Hyderabad. And given our schedule, if you look back at our work plan, which we'll need to do, that takes us quite a bit of the way into our work time. So I see Cheryl agreeing that the question is as stated. So in any case, our time is up. Please look to the list for a discussion quite quickly of both the question or potentially questions. It may be that there are more answers. Yes, yes, but, no, et cetera. And we'll see what happens with that. But I think we need to move into the process of getting something done quickly. And I think we have what I feel is a reasonable plan in front of us. So thank you all for your participation and in this call and your anticipated participation in clambering all over the Workstream 1 recommendations and looking for gaps. With that, I will call this meeting adjourned.